Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, September the 19th. Welcome to our commentary. Well, today we're going to have a few thoughts about this Kavanaugh hearing. It's become a real travesty. I don't know how else to say it. It's the Democrats' behavior is frankly, you know, when they said they were going to try anything to stop this nomination, well, I think they meant it. And they may still have a few more tricks. Don't overlook that. Some new polling data came out Tuesday about what's happening here in Texas. It's a lot more favorable to Senator Cruz. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. But let me begin with really a big, big story, as they like to say, out of South Texas. As most of you know from your knowledge of Texas, whether you live here or whether you follow us from the outside, Texas is known as a red state, meaning the Republicans usually win big, and particularly statewide. Anything, you know, where the people are voting for a state position, whether it's the governor, whether it's a senator, or whether it's a lieutenant governor or whatever, usually the Republicans do very well in those elections. And in fact, I think you have to go back to 1988, the last time that a Democrat won statewide, and that may have been Senator Lloyd Benson, who was the last Democrat senator that we had. He ran in 1988, as you may remember. He ran for vice president, but he was able to run for the U.S. Senate at the same time. So he basically ran for two positions that year, and he lost for vice president with Michael Dukakis, but he won for the Senate here in Texas. So Texas is red. However, you have these very strong blue locations or blue districts, either in cities like Austin, for example, or Dallas, inside the city or Houston. And then you have these pockets in South Texas. So if you were to look, for example, at a map of Texas, let's say the presidential vote, you would see red for the most part, and with these blue dots, Dallas, Houston, Austin, and down on the border, it's very much of a blue area. So Democrats tend to win the state Senate seats in South Texas. They lose the ones in North Texas, but they win the ones in South Texas. And yesterday there was an incredible upset down in South Texas where a Republican by the name of Pete Flores went into South Texas, Senate District number 19, a district that the fellow who had that district had to resign for some legal reasons. So it created a special election. They had they had the first round a few weeks ago, and two candidates qualified for the runoff, and they were Pete Flores and Pete Gallego. Pete Flores, the Republican, Pete Gallego, the Democrat. And they had finally the election, and Pete Flores won, and he won fairly easily, 53-47. Again, this is a district that the Democrats had won for something like 139 years. This is a district that the Republicans have generally not competed in because they just assume the Democrats are going to win. But Pete Flores won the district, so he's now going to be the state senator until, I guess, they have another election, if maybe November or the November later. I'm not sure. But we now have a Republican state senator in Senate District number 19, a Senate district that had been Republican or Democrat for 139 years. So what happened? Well, I think there are some legitimate questions here to ask about the blue wave and just how much of a blue wave there really is. You would think that this is an election where the blue wave would have shown up, particularly in a district that the Democrats have historically won. So either they didn't care, they didn't show up, or the blue wave maybe is not as strong as they tell us that it is. Now, I know that many people are going to say, well, this is a special election, you know, special elections don't say anything. And I understand that. I understand that special elections are special elections, and sometimes they tend to overstate the victory or overstate the defeat. I understand that. But this was a very competitive election in a district, again, that the Democrats had won, and Pete Flores won by 6 votes, 53-47. So this was not even close. It was not a landslide, but certainly it was a healthy victory. What does it say? Well, I think, again, we have to ask ourselves about this blue wave. And what is this blue wave all about? Because this would have been a perfect time for the blue wave to show up and basically keep a district that the Democrats had won. Now, Pete Flores is a businessman down there. He's a rancher, I believe. His message was very pro-Trump. His message was very conservative, and he won. So, you know, great, great victory for the GOP here in South Texas. I just don't know how else to say it. And could this be the indication that there may be other surprises in November in South Texas? I don't know. I don't know because I don't know each one of the districts. But I do know that the Democrats have nominated very left-of-center candidates in many of these districts, the Bernie Sanders-type candidates. So you have to begin to ask yourself the question, are we going to see some of these Republican surprises? We'll know more in a few weeks, I suppose, as more of the campaigning takes place. And we'll get into this, by the way, this whole story of Pete Flores and what's going on in South Texas when we talk to George Rodriguez on a future program. But great victory for the GOP. That's all you can say down in South Texas. Now, there's some new polling data that came out. This was a Quinnipiac poll, Quinnipiac University out of New York. They're a fairly reliable pollster. They're using likely voters. And it showed that Senator Cruz is up by 9, 54-45, and Governor Abbott is up 18 over Lupe Valdez. I'm not surprised at all about Lupe Valdez. And frankly, I'm not, or Governor Abbott versus Lupe Valdez. I think most people are forecasting a fairly easy reelection there by Governor Abbott. In the case of Governor Abbott this time around, the Democrats have probably selected the weakest candidate they could have nominated for the governor. I think the other fellow, Andrew White, who ran against her in the primaries, probably would have been a better candidate. But anyway, the Democrats are stuck with Lupe Valdez, and she's not a very strong candidate. On top of that, she doesn't have any money, which makes it very difficult for her to get the message out in a big state like Texas, where you have three or four major media markets. So I'm not at all surprised about Governor Abbott. I'm not really surprised about Senator Cruz either. I always said he would win by 10. But maybe these likely voter polls are starting to show that the public is getting more engaged now in the election. After all, I don't think people really pay attention to elections in the summer. So the public is getting a little bit more engaged, and maybe the public is starting to react to some of the things that Representative O'Rourke said about the NFL players and the AR-15 and universal health care. I think maybe the public is beginning to see the comparison between the two. Now, they have a big debate coming up on Friday. They have a huge debate on Friday on television. Let's see what happens after that debate. I expect Senator Cruz to do well. I've never seen Representative O'Rourke debate before, so I don't know how good he is on his feet. He's pretty good in campaign stops, but that's staged. That's different than a debate. And we'll see how it goes. But I have to feel very good about Senator Cruz after that poll, and I think we'll begin to see others that confirm exactly that kind of lead. I think I stick to my prediction that Senator Cruz is going to win by 10 points, and I think so far we're beginning to see some pretty good evidence of that. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos Gevis, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Gevis Harpy. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Tzatziki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Tzatziki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlos on the show information. If you see the show description right underneath that, it says check Carlos' schedule. You can click on that and find out where he's going to be playing around town. Well, we remember today the 1985 Mexico City earthquake. It happened in the morning. It was pretty scary. It was a big earthquake. I don't remember the total loss of life. I think it was 10,000 people, maybe more. It was pretty big. There was also some very significant loss of property, a lot of buildings that came down. And that, of course, created a lot of controversy in Mexico, a lot of political controversy, because I think that in the minds of many of the Mexicans that were talking back then and speaking about these buildings. Many were saying that many of the buildings that collapsed were a reflection of the corruption. That is, many times where government officials were being bought off so that they could pass inspections and all of that. I don't know how much of that is true. I've heard it over and over and over again from Mexican friends. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's true. I don't know. But I do think the earthquake had a political impact in the country, because when something like this happens, you see your government at work, whether it's a hurricane or an earthquake like this. And I think a lot of Mexicans felt, as they've told me, very unsatisfied with what happened with their government back then, and certainly many who felt that the earthquake, the death tolls, and the number of buildings that collapsed was a complete reflection, a total reflection of the corruption that has been impacting the country for a long time. So how much of it was, I don't know. But if you talk to a lot of Mexican friends, they certainly bring up the question of corruption and the fact that many of those buildings came down. But hard to believe that it happened 33 years ago. And I remember that quite well here in Dallas, Texas, because we had many doctors and many fundraisers and many activities that I participated in, raising money and for the Red Cross and supporting many doctors who went down to Mexico to help. We also say on this day, happy number 85, to David McCullough of The Man from U.N.C.L.E. If you remember that television series, he was Ilya Kuryaki, Napoleon Solo's sidekick, who at one time actually became more popular than the character Napoleon Solo. But it was a great show. I think it was on TV 3 or 4 years. You can catch it on reruns and some of these retro channels. But it was really a fantastic show. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I loved the musical intro. That was another part of the show that I really loved. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Kavanaugh hearings. Obviously, it is changing minute by minute. A couple of days ago, we were talking about, an unidentified person. Then the person had a name, and the person was going to appear. Now the person says, no, I'm not going to appear. I want an FBI investigation. Well, the FBI doesn't investigate things like this. That's why you have local police for. So what's going to happen on Monday? I don't know. What's going to happen tomorrow? I don't know. It's constantly changing. The Democrats keep changing it. And I think this is my theory. I think the Democrats always knew that this particular accusation was not really that strong. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but the accusation itself, 36 years later, with so little information that the lady can remember, is probably not a very strong accusation if you were to throw it at Judge Kavanaugh. So I think the Democrats always knew that it was not a strong accusation. Otherwise, I think they would have come up with this. They would have brought it up during the hearings. I mean, if they really thought that this could nail the judge, because if they really thought they had a lot of witnesses and a lot of information, I think they would have brought it out before. So the fact that they held it to the last minute confirms that I don't think they thought it was a very good or a very strong accusation. Now they're in a situation where the public is saying, okay, we'll listen to the lady, but now the lady's saying, well, I'm not going to go unless there's another investigation. Well, the FBI doesn't do those things. The local police would do it. And I think the Democrats have really lost control of this. And the Republicans have played it perfectly. The Republicans say, hey, if she wants to come, we'll let her come. And now she doesn't want to come. Again, it's changing constantly. The next time we talk, it might be a totally different situation. But I think the Democrats have misplayed it, because I think most fair-minded people, not people, let's say, who are Republicans or people who are Democrats, more fair-minded people, people in the middle who are not as ideological, let's say, as I may be or you may be, I think a lot of them see this and go, wait a minute, here's a good man has been accused, a man who's got a stellar record, and the lady who's accusing him doesn't even want to show up, and now they want this and they want that. I think the Democrats may be losing what I like to call the middle vote, the independent vote, the people who, frankly, are not ideological, but the people who decide elections. I think this is going to be a big blunder for the Democrats. Certainly, I think it will be. Well, we'll know more, I'm sure, over the next few days. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.